KNUS Denver.
These are going to be very close races in the fall. The governor's race, of course, oh so important. And did I just lock George, or is he up? Okay, George Brockler is up with us. We're grateful for that because George Brockler doing a great job as DA out in Arapahoe County, and that's how we normally refer to it, Arapahoe County. But, of course, it includes Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties as well. 930,000 residents often seems to be the Honorable George Brockler, kind of the center of the universe. Just so much seems to happen in Arapahoe County. And obviously the theater case very much on your docket right now. We won't talk about that this morning, but appreciate you joining us because you stood up, I thought, so very well for the people of Colorado, for the victims of Nathan Dunlap, when you stood up to John Hickenlooper when he started going down this reprieve road where it eventually ended up. And I appreciate the fact you're now speaking out about his comments to CNN. So Craig's here also. Welcome to the show. And if you would, just tell folks your reaction to what you heard in that CNN sound, not yet aired publicly, but we've heard it, fortunately, thanks to Craig and Todd Shepard. Just your reaction to all of that.
Well, first, hi, Dan and Craig, and thanks for having me on. I love being on the show. I will tell you that I guess I probably, like you guys, thought after the governor punted on this back in May of 2013 that this was a possibility. But I still held out hope, as probably the victims did, that a change in governor would lead to a greater adherence to the rule of law and the jury's verdict from back in 1996. But then to hear him articulate to people who I presume he thought were favorable to him based on their questions and their demeanor with him in this audio taped interview, I was offended, that he would commit himself to this path. And I don't care what his campaign says about this being a quote unquote hypothetical. It was not hypothetical. It was a discussion about specific people, him, Tancredo, Dunlap. These weren't pretend facts that may not come into existence. This was the status of things today. And to hear him then make that pledge, I was offended. And my guess is he never shared that with the victims either. And if you're going to come out and say something like that, and I agree with Craig, I think he's obligated to do that to Colorado before they decide whether or not to cast a vote for him. I do think he's obligated to tell the victims, this is the path I'm on, instead of leading them to believe that some future governor may actually do the right thing here.
George, the governor is certainly entitled to his own opinion. And I think you are feeling the same way that Dan and I do, that reasonable people can disagree about capital punishment, but you are not entitled to your own set of facts. I don't know all the family members of the many victims in the Chuck E. Cheese massacre, but you do. You're responsible for that prosecution. Jim Peters unfortunately passed away last year, but I know he knew all the victims' families. Eva Wilson, who prosecuted that case with Jim Peters, she's still alive. She works in Jefferson County as a prosecutor now. I know you've spoken to her. When John Hickenlooper tells CNN that half of the family members of the victims vigorously opposed capital punishment, was that a true statement on his part?
No, it wasn't accurate. I mean, maybe he believes that, and maybe his concept of fractions is anything less than 100% is 50%. But that is not it. And I wish I could remember the exact numbers, but having spoken with Eva multiple times, having met with some of the victims, we had a guy in our office, Matt Malaro, a superstar, generate the document that tried to fight clemency sought by Dunlap's attorneys. It was something on the scale of like 17 in favor of death, 4 opposed. It wasn't anywhere, and it may even be less than 4, but it wasn't anywhere close to the half that the governor said. And I told you this, Craig, on your show. If you go back and listen to the governor's statements at the podium in the Capitol when he was punting on this, he announced that Coloradoans were evenly split on this issue, only to find out the next day that the Quinnipiac people polled Coloradans, and it was more like 70-30 to 2-1. So I'm not sure fractions are his strong suit.
Yeah, and George, I'm not asking you to comment on this, obviously, but the truth is, the reality is, this guy just makes things up, whether he's lying to the sheriffs or he's making up, he's telling falsehoods about where the victims stand or whatever. He routinely just makes things up. But tell us, if we would, because you would, George, because you work so closely with victims all of the time, how does this kind of behavior on the part of the governor impact victims? We heard Mr. Crowell speak up, as you know, to CBS4. He called the governor a coward for the way he's handled this. How does this impact victims?
Well, first off, I mean, just to put this in perspective, because I think Colorado has been misled by the statements of the governor into believing that he was obligated to take action one way or the other on this issue to see that Nathan Dunlap was executed. And that's not the way Colorado law works. There's no death warrant. The governor doesn't have to wring his hands and ask for absolution before he signs peace paper. Bottom line is the court orders it. They imposed a death week of August 8th to, I think, the 14th of 2013, just about a year ago this week. And the governor could have just left town. He could have just gone to his bar or done something else, and this would have happened. But instead, he chose to intervene. And so in doing that, he summons these victims to his office, tells them, leads them to believe that one way or another there's going to be closure. And I think that's all victims 20 years removed want. I think the vast majority of them wanted the sentence to be imposed, but my God, they want to have this thing closed off for them. And instead of granting clemency, which I would have opposed, but at least it would have been final, instead of allowing the execution to go forward, which again would have been finality, he brings them in to say, I just can't make a decision, and sends them back into the rest of their lives, having renewed all of the horror, trauma, and emotions they dealt with 20 years before. And that's just unforgivable.
That's right.
I agree. And the frustrating part about capital punishment are the massive delays. They are wrong and unconscionable. And I would think that a responsible governor would work to minimize those delays. What John Hickenlooper did was just extend Dunlap out indefinitely, give him a massive continuance. That's why I thought it was so hypocritical on his part. But let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say during the temporary reprieve, he was struggling with the death penalty. Well, when he sits down in February with CNN, he's made up his mind. He is a leader of the anti-death penalty crowd. At that point, once he makes up his mind, shouldn't he say it loud and say it proud? And I'll tell you, the people on the left, David Lane, will come in and say he had a perfect opportunity to go to the legislature and repeal capital punishment, but he didn't have the courage to do that. So it really is a weak position that the governor is in. George, speak to that.
I mean, listen, this should not be a political issue. This should be a rule of law issue. And you're right when you say there are good people in my family who would be opposed to the death penalty because they are pro-life start to stop. And that is a principled moral position that I can respect. But the path that the governor has taken is, again, just classic Hickenlooper, this waffling indecisive weakness I think Colorado needs to come to grips with the idea that leadership is not being present in a room when other people make decisions. It's got to be something where you take us a certain direction or encourage us to go a certain way because you have these strongly held beliefs. Nothing you whisper to a CNN crew in an unpublicized, unpublished documentary off camera can be considered to be that kind of leadership. What I think this guy needs to do is, if he truly believes this, if he feels morally bound that the death penalty is not right, why wait for the election? Take to a podium today at noon and say, I am so sick and tired of that DA Brockert calling me out on this. I'm granting clemency, not just for Dunlap, but I'm going to do it for Sir Mario Owens and Robert Ray. Why wait for this long, expensive legal process to go through? I'm going to do what I think is right today.
Yeah, District Attorney George Brockler, I guess. And I think that last point is so vital because in my mind, what it shows is something that I think is absolutely inexcusable, even in the rough and tumble of high-stakes politics, and that is when a public official puts his best interest, i.e. his political calculations, above the interest of victims who've had family members murdered. I consider that one man speaking to be immoral. I think if anything should be sacred, it's, okay, these people had their children killed. You know, at that point, I have to put their interest and justice first above my political calculations. And obviously, that's what this is. This is a political calculation by Hickenlooper that he is better off by going this reprieve route than he is, you know, doing what the law and justice really demand.
Yeah, I agree. I think, too, the fact that, and again, this is just so weak, makes this decision, you can see them kind of in your mind, sitting around a table deciding, wait a minute, if we do this, this group will be upset. Right. If we do this, this group will be upset. Let's not offend either. Let's take that middle of the road that we always take and not make a decision. And when it blows up so horribly, he then, days later, comes out and announces, Well, we knew this would happen, and that's why my decision to not make a decision was one of courage. What are you talking about?
Just amazing. And George, you may not be able to comment on this, but it just popped into my head. Craig's been hammering on it for days, and that is, what about the potential impact of this on the theater case, in the sense that if the timing rolls out in such a way, and I think it will, that there's an ultimate outcome to this case? You know, well, if Hickenlooper's reelected, which we hope doesn't happen, he would be in office when there's an eventual outcome. Do you think it factors into the thinking at all in the defense, et cetera, in this case, that John Hickenlooper, if he's in office, might just grant clemency to Holmes?
I don't want to comment on the theater case, but if I were Mitch Morrissey, I would have concerns about the Firo Barr murder, death penalty case. I would wonder how that has an impact on them. And my guess is Mitch Morrissey has been in intimate contact with the family members of those deceased victims in that cold-blooded murder. And they've probably expressed concerns too about why would we go through a process for 15 or 20 years if it just takes some weak in the knees governor to say, I'm just not going to follow the will of Coloradans who passed this law time and time again. I can imagine that would have an impact on Mitch's case.
Right, and it's already impacted a Colorado case. I had the prosecutor on from Fremont County, Tom Ledoux, I think is his name, and he had the case of Jacob Van Winkle. This is an ex-con from Indiana who first he raped the children in the house, three children, and then he murders their mother, murders two little kids. The 16-year-old runs to a neighbor's house. Jacob Van Winkle is caught after perpetrating this triple homicide and all these sexual assaults. And the prosecutor said, you know, we talked about it, but given what Hickenlooper did, which we had to consider, we decided to let him plead guilty without the death penalty. So it's already impacting cases in Colorado. And it's not that just that John Hickenlooper has come to the other side. He adopts every one of their arguments. If you listen to that tape, he says the death penalty system is racist. He says that it's way too expensive, the delays. And then he rips on you, George Brockler, with the encouragement of CNN, says it's arbitrary and capricious. Hell, look at the 18th Judicial District. They have most of the death penalty cases, which I think is a matter of bad luck more than anything else. But he adopts all their arguments. He also says that 140 death row inmates in the modern death penalty have been exonerated. That's a wild stat that I don't think bears up under scrutiny. So here's a guy who takes every argument of the anti-death penalty crowd, and he exaggerates them even further. I urge people to listen to these 40 minutes of John Hickenlooper talking with CNN.
And Mr. DA, last words yours. Appreciate your time today. And anything else you'd like to pass along to folks, please do.
I wish I could. This shouldn't be a political issue. And what I find most ironic about the governor's threat to grant clemency to Dunlap is the guy that punted on this issue and tied it to the occurrence of another political event, that being the election of the governors, the next governor, for him to then say it's offensive to turn someone's life into a political football. It's like this guy is tone deaf on issues of public safety, criminal justice, and frankly, communication. It doesn't make any sense to go to Coloradans and try to argue that what he's done is a matter of principle or conscience. It is political expedience, and it's offensive. I would have more respect for this guy if he stood up today and said, I'm making a decision, and I'm gonna have to face the consequences, but this is what my heart tells me is right.
Right.
But you and I both know he's never going to do that.
That's right. George Brockler doing a great job out there. Thank you, Mr. DA. Appreciate the time today.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Ray. Talk to you guys later.
Take care. I fully expect, if I'm betting the truck, I'm betting that you see George in statewide office sometime in the not-too-distant future. Just smart guy, great skill set, gutsy, willing to step up there, tell it like it is. You know, there's not a lot of that going on.
Yeah, and he's a military veteran. He served this country in Iraq. George Brockler, quite an impressive person.